Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Jeff Young. Time to catch up on comments from you, our listeners. Some of you had sharp words about our coverage of the resignation of the White House's Green Jobs advisor, Van Jones. Among them was Kenneth from Dallas, who listens to our podcast. He writes that he usually enjoys our show, but found that report partisan. He writes, "Your one-sided portrayal of the Van Jones resignation bothered me. I do not think he should have been part of our government, and I'm concerned about having unvetted czars in high positions." And ecologist Paul Rogers of Utah State University thought our report on sudden aspen decline painted too sad a picture. He says, though some older trees are dying, in most places, healthy young sprouts are replacing them. That's contrary to what a Forest Service pathologist told us. Our interview with the renegade lunch lady, who serves up nutritious school meals, had many of you asking for seconds. Charlotte Moeller hears us on WAMC out of Kingston, New York.
I am a student at the Culinary Institute of America who has decided that I want to make my mission in life to reconnect Americans with their food and a healthier way of looking at food. I would love to be a cook who went into a school and got a farmer to give their food to a school and then helped the cooks in the school learn to prepare it. Sign me up.
And finally, a listener who says it's time for some straight talk about that talking seal. George Swallow heard our story about Hoover the Seal on Maine's public broadcasting network. He liked it, but says we got a couple things wrong. And he ought to know. Swallow was 17 when his father, also named George Swallow, brought the orphaned pup home.
My uncle, he's a lobsterman, lived down from us about a half a mile down the road. He called my father and said that his dog had found a baby seal. My father was somebody who always, took care of stray animals and hurt birds and like that. So my uncle called him. They went down, and they found the seal. It was tiny. It was about a foot long. And they looked around, and they found its mother had been shot. So my father brought the seal home, and they put it in the bathtub. That's the first time I saw it. I think I came back from school that day. My mother says, "Come and look at this," and there was a seal in the bathtub.
And I'm guessing eventually he got too big for the tub. What then?
Oh, yeah. We have a pond in the backyard, a freshwater pond. And my father would take him down to that, and he would go in, swim around, and come out. And we set up a little pup tent so he could get out of the sun or stay in there at night. And he did that.
A pup tent. How appropriate for a seal pup.
Yeah. And there's a Bowdoin College had a marine biology department, and they got a marine biologist to come up and take a look at the seal, and he said he was okay in the pond, and he just needed probably some vitamin supplements and some salt tablets that they gave my father.
Now, Hoover's famous for being the talking seal. Did Hoover talk to you? Did you hear Hoover talking back then?
Nope, I never heard Hoover talk back then. My father thought he heard the seal sort of say something that almost sounded like speech, but he didn't really tell anybody because he thought they'd think he was a little nutty. And the vocalization didn't start for a few years after he was at the aquarium, but as soon as we heard it, we knew where he got it from because he was saying things in my father's accent, the exact same things my father repeated over and over to him, like, "Hello there," and "Come over here," and "Get out of there," and the "Hey, hey, stupid." He'd always talk to the seal constantly, but he never said the seal talked back to him until later.
Did he sort of just become like a pet, sort of like a dog with flippers or what?
Yeah, actually it was quite a bit like having a pet dog. And actually, it's one of the stories my father would talk about, because the seal would ride in his Jeep. I think he had a Jeep then. It might have been a Scout, but anyway, one of those Jeepy vehicles. The seal would sit in the passenger seat. And one day he was up in the local town up here, Brunswick, and stopped at a stoplight. Some kids on the street corner looked in at the Jeep, and one goes to the other, look, that dog, it's got no ears.
Now your dad tried to return Hoover to the wild before Hoover ended up at the aquarium, right? How did
right.
that go?
Yeah, he was getting fairly big. He was a couple feet long at this point, and my father took him down in a skiff and put him in the water. He swam around. He liked that great, and my father started to come back in with the skiff and thinking maybe he would, you know, just go and find some other seals, but he came swimming over and just flipped right into the boat. One of the people my father worked for got a hold of the aquarium, and they agreed to take the seal.
Now, your father's not with us anymore, correct?
No, he passed away in 97.
And apparently, your family decided to memorialize Hoover along with your dad's memorial, correct?
Yeah. On his headstone, there's an engraving from a photograph that it was in the Boston Globe when they took Hoover down to the aquarium. My father's holding Hoover, and Hoover's, they can say he's kissing him. He's giving a little nudge in the cheek.
Sweet. George Swallow, thank you very much for helping us get the story of Hoover the seal straight. I want to say now this story has the official seal of approval, doesn't it?
Okay, I guess it does.
All right. Well, thanks to everyone for being in touch. We're always glad to hear from you. You can reach us at comments@loe.org. Once again, that's comments@loe.org. Our postal address is 20 Holland Street, Somerville, Massachusetts, 02144. Or you can call the listener line at 800-218-9988. That's 800-218-9988.